Amen? Yeah. Isn't that encouraging?
Yes, it is.
Not just because of the song, but because of the words of the song. Yes. Look at what God put in your heart. Yeah. Right? It's easy to feel good in the moment.
Yeah.
You have to remember those words every day.
Amen.
When that roll is called up yonder, you want to be there. You want to hear your name. The Bible says two books are going to be opened in that day. One of them is going to be a roll call. Yeah. Right?
Man.
You know, now I go to my son and I say, why am I still getting messages from the school saying that you missed fifth period? Fix it. Right? Because when the roll was called, you weren't there. And Tamar and I were just talking just a moment ago, as we talked about in class, about Thomas. He wasn't there. Right? Now, that wasn't necessarily a roll that was called at that point in time, but because he wasn't there, he didn't get to have the immediate benefits that he could have had he been there. Amen?
Amen.
When that role is called, we want to be there. You know, as we do what we do as the body of Christ, I pray that you will constantly be dependent upon his word. Know why you do what you do. It is so easy for the brothers to get before a congregation or before the congregation of the Lord's people and say a whole lot or nothing at all as it relates to the partaking of the body and the blood. Mm-hmm. Why do we read from the Bible? Because that's what his word says. We don't have to read from the Bible in partaking of the body and blood. You know, you go to many places and they get up in front of you and just say, let us pray. And they pray and partake because the understanding is there. Because you understand why you're doing what you're doing. But reading in the Bible is so crucial and essential because it has to remind you of why you do what you do. Man. When you do it and how you do it. So that those that are among you, believers and non-believers alike, know that you are operating off of God's word and not your own word. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The Lord God gave that to his people as they were exiting Egypt. And he told them, there shall be one law for those that are homegrown and for those that are coming from other nations. One law. So when they see you do what you do, they know that you are doing it because it is what your God has commanded you to do. And the people of God, the people who obey Christ this day, should be found abiding by his word. So I say amen to you, brothers and sisters. Keep the Bible right here at Desert Church of Christ. That's not the lesson. The lesson is, you ever found yourself saying, speak where the Bible speaks, right? Be silent where the Bible is silent, all right? The title of the lesson this morning is Where the Bible Speaks. And we'll talk about the plan of salvation or salvation. It is very essential. Go ahead and turn your Bibles and you'll wait for me there at 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're a Bible church. We're a Bible-believing people because we believe in God's Word. So that's what we're going to use and that's what we're going to talk about. And that's what should guide our souls. We got a lot to cover in a small amount of time. So I'm going to try to get through as much of it as possible. And once again, brothers and sisters, please remember that any brother that comes to you, whether in Bible class or worship service, we can't present to you something new. I mean, unless you've never read it before or studied it before or heard it before. But God's word has been established. So we can't come to you with anything new. In fact, Paul says, if someone teaches you something than that which you have been taught, which is the doctrine of Christ, let them be accursed. I don't plan on being accursed this morning. Or any other day, so I'm going to give you something you already know. And that's the encouragement of understanding where the Bible speaks as it relates to the plan of salvation. We always talk about the five steps, right? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and then live faithfully unto death, right? But it's very needful for us just to be reminded of this. Think about this. In order to hear, you have to have something to hear, do you not? In Matthew chapter 17, we know that they went up to the mount of the transfiguration and that a conversation began to be withheld within that conversation about building three tabernacles. And we know that the Lord God had interrupted that conversation. Almighty himself and says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Do what? Hear ye him. Right? Now, remember, he's not here with us physically. He's not talking to us physically for the audible, but he's here with us in terms of his word. Amen. So we need to hear him. And in order for us to hear him, that means we need to open our books and let his words sound off in our ears and in our hearts. So the Lord God says, hear him. We know that in John chapter 1, verse 1, it teaches us that he is the word, right? So in order, if he's the word and he's who we need to hear, that's what we want to be listening to. And then Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Don't miss the simplicity of Jesus. In order to get his commandments, he has to give them to you, right? Now, we know that in Moses' time, in the Mosaic law, it says that when Moses was up on the top of the mountain, he gave Moses his law. Now, here's a question. You can go ahead and talk back on this one. How did he give Moses his law?
Tablets.
How did he do it? Say it.
He wrote
it with his finger. Right? It wasn't even audible. He wrote it with his finger on those tablets. He told him to go give this law to the people, to his people. So irregardless of how he gave it to them. And they needed to hear it. They needed to listen to it. They needed to obey it. For us today, the Bible teaches us that we need to hear him. He is the word. John chapter 5, verse 24 to 25 tells us that they that hear him will live. What is that talking about? We're living right now, are we not? From a physical standpoint, we're living. But we know that the Bible is talking about living with and in him for an eternity. Because in Christ is life. Outside of Christ, there is death. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6 with this. Because everybody outside of that ark perished. Everyone inside of the ark that God designed lived. Amen?
Amen?
Today, we must live in Christ. In order for that to happen, we must hear him in order that we may have life. But let's take a look at a contrary example. Consider this and think about this. Abraham, he didn't leave the land and leave his kindred until he heard the word of God that came to him and says, I need you to get up and leave those people and leave the land and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Had that word not come to Abraham, Abraham would have stayed where he was and a lot would have happened to him and among him. But then he would not have also been able to make the differences that he made until he decided to listen to God's word and leave. Remember, when he left, he took some people with him. You remember? Right? And as he left, he took those people with him, and he still had some troubles going on. He had to go and lie about the wife situation, right? Go tell them, you're my sister, not my wife. Otherwise, they're going to kill me, right? He had land issues. Oh, man, if I take my people and my flock and you take yours, there's going to be conflict because your people are conflicting with my people. All of this began to happen. It wasn't up until he decided to say, I need to sever this tie right here, then go with God. But remember, that started with hearing God's word. What about Noah? At what point in time did he see rain? At what point in time did he ever see a flood? God told him to build an ark because the end was near. Wait, when did Noah ever see an ark before? So at the word of God that Noah heard, he moved with faith and became obedient. Without hearing his word, there is no obedience. You have to have his word. You have to hear his word. But watch this. You're there with me. You're there with me, Brother Frank. You ready? You ready? Yeah. You know it. You know it. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Again, I don't think you're unfamiliar with it, but if not, let's take a look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Start at verse number 1.
Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint the king over all his people, mm-hmm. over Israel.
Okay.
Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord.
Amen. Now remember, at this point, the people have gone to Samuel and said, we want a king so that we can be like all the other nations. We want a king to come and judge us, right? To be among us, to be in and out of all. And it says they grieved Samuel. And Samuel went to God and says, God, look, the people are asking for a king. Why would they do this? And the Lord God says, Samuel, calm down, calm down. Cool out, chill out. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. It's okay. But I'll tell you what. Give them a king. And when you give them a king, give them the disclaimer. Tell them how unhealthy this is going to be for them. Tell them how he's going to take their children and put them in front of his chariots. And how he's going to take their produce and take it for his people. Tell them all the good and the bad. And I'll tell you what, Samuel, if they still want the king, we'll give it to them. They don't want them, we're in a good place. And it says he told them these things, and the people said, we want a king. So they gave him Saul, right? So here's Samuel coming to Saul. And he says, hey, the Lord sent me to you to anoint you, right? Continue on, Brother Frank.
Thus says the Lord of hosts.
What? Who said what? All right, don't miss this. This is what the Lord said. Now, we've got a ways to read, so I'm just going to let you read. Go.
I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel and how he ambushed him on the way and came from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek, utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them.
All right, before I go forward, for the most part, is everyone familiar with this story? Yes? No? All right, that way I'm going to save your 23 verses because I want to read the whole chapter. The Lord God told him to go and destroy, utterly destroy everything. He says, spare nothing. Now, you know, how could the Lord God kill off babies? They're so innocent. Look, don't get in the Lord's business. Not like that. He told Saul to take everything out. Man, woman, suckling. I think that's what it says in the King James Version. Take it all out. Spare nothing. Right? And it says he took Agag with him. And it says that they kept the goodly things, right? They kept the good sheep. They kept the good cattle, right? They took some things. They kept off some things, right? Now watch this. The Lord God spoke to Saul through Samuel. Gave him what he needed in order to be successful. So you can't say that Samuel didn't hear. You know, I keep going back to my kitchen incident. And we told our son, we says, hey, we want you to wash the dishes, put them up. We want you to sweep and mop the floor. We want you to wipe the counters down, right? Three things. So when we get home and we see that the counters haven't been wiped, we say, what part of this did you not understand? I can imagine God saying to Saul at this point, what part of this did you not understand? Because watch this. Look at what Saul says. I think it's down in around verse number 20. What did verse number 20 say? Brother Frank, please, verse number 20.
And Saul said to Samuel.
But
I have obeyed the voice of the
Lord. But I did obey the voice of the Lord. I heard what he said. And I did obey. And you all know, according to the story, he did not obey. Right? He partially obeyed. Yeah, but partial is better than none. Nah, the Bible teaches us to keep and hear and keep his word wholly. Wholeheartedly. Do all of his will, my brothers and sisters. Do everything. And if you fall along the way, you stumble along the way, that's why we have each other, to strengthen each other, to nourish each other, to restore each other, not to kick each other out, hold our foot down on you while you're down. None of that. That's not what God's church is about. It's about strengthening one another so that we all can get to the same destination. All right? Keep that in mind. So, this is very crucial. Saul heard what God said, but he only obeyed partially. Without hearing, there is no faith. And without faith, as we talked about earlier, it is impossible to please him because you can't obey. You need to know what to obey. In order to know what to obey, you need to hear. And that way you can be obedient. Just a few scriptures in regards to the hearing. We know that the Bible teaches us that in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, the Lord says, not every man that comes to me, everyone that comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Right? But those that do it, the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then he continues to say, many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Cast out devils in thy name? Prophesied in thy name? Right? And he said, and I'm going to turn to them and tell them, depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. I never knew you. Why is that essential? It's because I told you to do something and you went and did something else. So either you chose not to hear me or you heard me and chose to not do what I have told you to do. That's why I quoted John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if Jesus says do this, then let's be found doing that. That's why I mentioned, why are we reading the Bible? So that you know that this is what the Lord commanded his disciples to do. And this is why we as his disciples do what he commanded us to do. Because we look at him as our Lord, our King, right? When Jesus, well, not Jesus, but when the people of Israel were leaving Egypt, the Lord God gave them some commands. One of the first command was, I am the Lord thy God, right? The next command was, you shall have no other gods before me, right? The next command was, don't make any engraven images because you're going to end up looking at them as gods. I mean, look at all that God has established for his people to show them that I'm right here. All you need to do is hear me. And if you hear me and obey me, you'll be in a good place. No matter how bad the circumstances may be around you. In fact, I'm going to put you in that position. Right? He told the children of Israel, I'm going to take you to that land that I promised you. Here's the mess going on around it. He told his 12 disciples, I'm going to send you in as sheep among wolves. Here's the mess that's going on around you, but I'm going to take care of you. Right? He told Saul, hey, look, I'm going to tell you and show you the things that you are going to suffer for my name. The persecution that's going to come your way. But I'm going to take, look at the mess around you, but I'm going to take care of you. All you need to do is hear me. Amen? Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. Like I said, we're not going to cover all of this. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Brother Frank, be ready for me there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It is very needful for us to believe. Without belief, how shall we obey? Right? The Lord God, we already talked about it in Exodus chapter 20, told the people, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no gods before me. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to read about Jehoshaphat reminding and encouraging the people to know and to believe in the Lord your God in verse number 20, which we'll look at in just a moment. But the same thing applies. In Acts chapter 8, which you guys are already aware of and familiar with, when Philip was teaching Jesus Christ unto the eunuch, the eunuch, when they came upon water, says, here's water. What hindereth me to be baptized? Philip's response was, thou mayest, if thou believest that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the eunuch made his verbal confession, right? That I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see that same example, if you will, or example in the liking thereof, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 through 24, where his command is for his disciples to believe. And that is the encouragement there. In John chapter 20, verse 29, which we talked about just a moment ago, remember, Thomas says, until I see him and touch him, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus says, here, I'll go ahead and fulfill your belief for this moment, but there's going to come a time where those who do not see are blessed. Because they don't see, yet still believe. Don't lose your belief. But watch this. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Go ahead and start reading there, verse number 1 for me, please, Brother Frank.
It happened after that that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites.
Oh, there you go. Sorry,
came to battle against Jehoshaphat.
Mm-hmm.
Then they came out and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. All
right, so much like Gideon, there's a little bit of fear here. The human element comes into play. See, sometimes it's easy for us to read about these respective characters, as we would call them, our brothers and sisters of belief in the past, that show humanity and say, oh, well, there you go. There's a little bit of weakness. It's always been there. Don't negate the human element of it. Tamar and I were talking on our way here, and I said, you know, back in the day, well, at least in my day, I don't know about your day, you know, but back in my day, when certain things came up, there were certain people who dealt with it differently. You know, when there was a certain type of tension in the schools, people were getting beat up and jumped. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just kind of what was happening as I was coming up in junior high and high school. You know, there was no social media to this degree to where there's this cyberbullying. You know, we're going to face bullying head on. We're going to come knock on the door and say, hey, Mr. Miller, is Bobby here? Because Bobby need to come outside. We got some things to settle. I mean, that's just kind of how things were done as I was coming up. They were directly addressed in that respective fashion. But why do I bring this up? It's because Jehoshaphat and the people are about to go to battle, and there's fear. There's a natural fear. They didn't always walk with confidence, all right? And I'm going to save us reading this entire chapter as well, but because of this battle, there's going to need to be a reminder, all right? Jump down, Brother Frank, and read verse number 14 and 15.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of
Mattaniah,
a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen to you of Jude, all of you of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to
you. Stop right there. He says, all the people listen, and this is why you have constantly heard me say to you as brothers and sisters, nobody is above the law. All right, and I'm not talking about Donald Trump and all of that. I don't care about all of that. I'm talking about in the Lord's church. No deacon, no elder, no preacher, no minister is above God's law, period. You don't make the rules in the Lord's house. The Lord has already given you rules to abide by in order to be saved. Why do I say that? It's because right here, he says, even King Jehoshaphat, listen. Thus saith the Lord. And what did the Lord say? Go ahead, Brother Frank.
Do not be afraid nor dismayed.
Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Go ahead.
Because of this great multitude.
Keep going.
For the battle is not yours but God's.
Amen. Keep going.
Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up from Ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel.
Jump down to verse number 18.
And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground.
Amen.
And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord.
Amen. And the Levites, or the children of the Kohathites, you know, the children of the Korites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high, just as we just did. Look at this. It says, and they rose early in the morning. They went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, people of God, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Remember, in Exodus 20, the Lord God said to his people, I am the Lord your God. If he is your God, if he is your Lord, hear him and believe him. And the way you do that is his word. Is that simple enough? I go to my son and my daughter and I say, I am your dad. Listen to me. I am going to guide you. That means there's nobody else you need to call dad and listen to. Because their direction may be different than that of mine. The direction I may set before my children may lead them in this path, but the direction they may set may lead them towards this path. We already talked about that in Genesis chapter 3, didn't we not? The Lord God says, don't take of this tree. It leads to this. The serpent said, take of the tree, it leads to this. They chose this instead of what God says. And I'm telling you, choose what God says, because he is the Lord, your God. All right, on the contrary, and Thomas says, I'm not going to believe until I touch and I see. But look at this, Romans chapter 3. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Everyone join us. Romans chapter 3. This is a scripture that you can use and that you want to understand not only yourself, in order that it's not misapplied, that when you're dealing or talking with people who don't necessarily believe as you believe, but you know that God's word is true, you have the faith based on what the Bible teaches on Christ Jesus. And remember, the faith is the evidence, you know, the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So you see everything that is evident before you of God's creation, of God's hand in everything. All right? Look at this. In Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, says this. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Remember, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament church to have the circumcision of the mind. So there, you know, there's no longer the physical circumcision, but now the spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of the impurities of sin in order that you may be circumcised of the mind. So he says, what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? What if some didn't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? So just because there is, so here, note this, that there are going to be some in life that are not going to believe. It is just that simple. You don't get to choose who believes and doesn't believe. You may not even know who all believes and doesn't believe, but just know that there are some who are not going to believe. Right? But does it make the faith of God of not effect? Continue to read for me, Brother Frank.
In what?
King James, please. We're in Romans. In Romans.
Okay, what verse? I'm sorry.
Verse four.
Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar.
All right, so he says, does it make it of non effect? He says, certainly not. Let God be true and every man a liar. Go ahead.
As it is written,
uh-huh,
that you may be justified in your words and may overcome, you are judged.
All right, so I'll show you that to encourage you to understand that just because of someone else's disbelief does not void God's word. You make the choice to believe. You make the choice to hold fast to God's word because you know that it is applicable in your lives. All right, real quick, we got a little bit of time, just a couple minutes. And I want to get to a few of these verses. Turn your Bibles over to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 4, the question is this. You know the account of Cain and Abel. And when they went to give their offerings. And that God did not have respect and did not accept Cain's offering. Cain was wroth. His countenance fell. The Lord God came to him and says, why has thy countenance fallen? Here's my question to you, brothers and sisters over here at Desert Church of Christ. Why wasn't Cain sorrowful of his transgression until the Lord verbalized his punishment? Why wasn't he sorrowful until the Lord God verbalized his punishment? Why? He knew he was wrong. The Lord God came to him and says, don't you know if you do well, you shall be accepted? But if you don't do well, sin lieth at the door. Right? Did we see then Cain say, oh man, you're right, I'm sorry. I apologize.
He didn't do it.
Right? Now that's not to say that maybe he did feel bad. We don't know. The Bible doesn't infer that. But what we do know is that the very next thing that happened was Cain went out there and killed his brother. Right? So here's my question again. Why wasn't he sorrowful for transgressions until the Lord verbalized his punishment? Watch this. Cain didn't bring his first. He was quick to be angry. He rejected God's word. He killed his brother. He lied to God. And he denied the knowledge of his brother's whereabouts. And at no point in time during this procession Did he ever say, my bad, I'm sorry, forgive me, right? Anything that we would think that would probably be common to say. Remember, everything's new at this point in time in life, right? There were killings going on regular as it is today, right? So we it's always said this is the first recorded homicide, all right? But think about this. He wasn't sorrowful for that transgression. In Ezekiel chapter 18, someone please read verse. Oh, man. Someone read verse 9. Start at verse number 19. Or Brother Frank, if you get
there.
Yep, go ahead.
Yet please. When you say, why should the Son not bear the guilt of the Father?
Uh-huh.
Because the Son has done with the lawful... what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live.
Uh-huh.
The soul who sins shall die.
Uh-huh.
The Son shall not bear the guilt of his Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son.
Uh-huh.
The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself.
All right. Look at verses 30 through 32. The Lord says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. I'm showing you this because I want you to know that the Lord God, where the Bible teaches us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Nothing has changed. Since the beginning of time, the Lord God has always been trying to encourage people to repent. To change. I mean, again, this goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. We can go to Sodom and Gomorrah, but we can even go to Genesis chapter 4 here, where the opportunity to change, to repent, is there. And we know that the Bible teaches us that we must repent in order to have his love upon us. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, it says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. I know we don't have time to go through all the scriptures, the chapters and the verse, but I believe you guys understand what the Bible is teaching and telling us. The Bible teaches us to confess his name, to confess with our mouths. It also teaches us to confess with our lives, with our lifestyles, with the way we live. It is needful for us to understand the importance of these things. Why? Because this is where the Bible speaks, where the Bible teaches and tells us what to do. Which is very interesting. You always seem to find people trying to find loopholes of what not to do and how not to do that to make it okay to do something else. My encouragement as the Lord's people is to stay with what the Lord has said for you to do. Stay within his direction and everything will work out, not only here on earth, but definitely as we strive for heaven. So the Bible teaches us to confess Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Those are Jesus' words. Whoever confesses me before men, right, I will confess him before the Father. Confess Jesus before men. In Romans chapter 10, 4 through 10, that's where it says confess with your mouth and confess unto salvation. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, that's where it encourages us to confess Jesus. We already talked about it. Acts chapter 8, the eunuch confessed Jesus, right? He confessed, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We all know about Peter's confession in Matthew chapter 16, right? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say I am? Put yourself in Peter's shoes. You ought not have any hesitation to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Simple as that. And believe that with your heart. And the Bible obviously teaches us the importance and the needfulness of baptism, the watery grave of baptism. In his likeness, we are buried in baptism. We are cleansed through baptism because that's where the blood meets us in order to purge our sins. And we are resurrected with Christ as we come out in order that we are nailing our sins to the cross. Baptism equals the death to sin and the burial. Arising equals the resurrection. Romans 6 tells us that we are resurrected with Christ. Ephesians 4 teaches us that there is one baptism. That's all you need. Acts chapter 19. Paul comes upon those disciples and says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you were baptized? Which indicates that those that were worshiping at that time, the way that they were worshiping, were baptized. They got in the water. So Paul says, hey, good to meet you, brother. Hey, right? Right, good to meet you, brother. You got the Holy Spirit, right? And they said, we have not so much as heard of this Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? So he says, oh, you haven't heard of the Holy Ghost? Well, then to what were you baptized? And he says, oh, well, we were baptized after John. Well, he says, oh, well, that's cool, but that's not going to lead to salvation. That's unto repentance. Let me give you what you need in order to be baptized into salvation. Let me give you Christ. And he gave them Christ. And they were baptized after Christ. And that's why we are baptized today as the Bible commands us to. And that is how we receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, right? Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Listen to this, family. Don't miss this. No baptism means no Spirit of God. It is just that simple. No Spirit of God means you are none of His. Book, chapter, and verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, those that don't have His Spirit are none of His. The only way to get His Spirit is to get in the water after His Son, Christ Jesus' doctrine. It's just that simple. It's not being mean. That's where the Bible speaks. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible teaches us to walk, live and to walk, which means to walk faithfully unto death. Colossians 3, put off the old man. Put off the sinful man. Put on the new man. Romans chapter 8, walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Ephesians chapter 4, walk, live worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Revelation chapter 2, you hear quoted just about every other Sunday, if not every Sunday. Walk thou faithfully, live faithfully unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know what I love about that statement? Jesus said it. I don't have a crown to give you, you don't have a crown to give me. Jesus has a crown to give you so long as you walk faithfully after baptism unto death. That's my encouragement to you, brothers and sisters. Speak where the Bible speaks. Obey where Jesus has commanded us to be obedient. With that said, we'll go ahead and stand as we go ahead and sing the Savior's invitation.